The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Good afternoon to you, Rolien Marks. Are you well?
Very, very hot here in Israel, but I'm good in yourselves. I hope you're all keeping safe, keeping healthy, and keeping warm.
Yeah,
Rolien, it sounds like a bit of a stuck record, but there really is a lot to get through to today. So, yeah, let's get to it. Ari Fuld, the well-known Israel advocate, the man who was larger than life, felled by a terrorist, a knife attack. Hard to believe his murderer was sentenced today.
Ari Fuld, the man who we refer to as really the Lion of Judah. You know, he was a tremendous giant of a man, not just in size and stature, but in the work that he did for Israel, defending Israel to his last breath, because once he saw this, you know, he gave chase, the terrorist shot him. He still managed to run after him before sadly succumbing to his wounds. But the murderer of Ari Fuld sentenced to life imprisonment today, and you know, our thoughts are with the family. We hope that this brings them some kind of closure.
Rolien, something else that we wanted to talk about, and by the way, hello. Israel published a list last week, and I actually did want to discuss it with you, of these 300 officials that are most likely to be targeted by the ICC. I didn't really understand why Israel was doing that. Can you just give us some insight and context for it?
Well, the ICC, the International Criminal Court that sits in The Hague, have said that they will proceed with war crimes charges with certain representatives from the Israeli military and the defense establishment. So I think as a precautionary tale, or to just make sure that we are planned well ahead, that Israel has preempted any kind of surprises by putting forward who they think is most likely to be targeted by the ICC and on any kind of war crimes charges. So I think we're not going to be able to stop the ICC. America has threatened to, other countries have threatened to, you know, it's no coincidence that we've seen the foreign minister from Hungary in the country over the last couple of days, reiterating his country's support for Israel on international bodies, and that includes places like the ICC. So I think it's a preemptive kind of precaution on the part of Israel to make sure that at least all our ducks in a row, and that we have, you know, our defense, we have our cases together, should this come to court.
So, Rolien, is this actually saying that any one of those 300 people, when they travel abroad and leave Israel, are potentially targets for arrest?
Potentially. It depends on legislation in said countries. I know that many activists have tried to bring arrest charges against traveling Israelis, and whatever countries they are in have shot those down. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was on the Golan Heights. I met with the commander of Operation Good Neighbor, which is a humanitarian a program that the IDF enlisted for several years. And he was telling me he went to England and was summarily called a war criminal. So, you know, we have to be careful, because in some countries, anybody who serves the IDF is termed a war criminal. Those are countries with largely more hostile relations or hostile leanings towards Israel, and in other countries they see it as you know, absolute nonsense, and that Israel has complied with the rules of engagement. In fact, we've also to counter the ICC and to counter these accusations, we've had generals and high-ranking military officials from a number of countries, including very outspoken ones like Colonel Richard Kemp, who have said, you know, this is ridiculous. This is a form of discrimination, because in their experience, the problem with Israel and the rules of engagement is that we've set the protection levels for civilians in an enemy country, that the way that we have regarded them, you know, so carefully, has set a standard so high that many other militaries are unable to meet that criteria. And many of you are familiar with the roof knocking, with the dropping of pamphlets, with the use of cell phone technology, the setting up of field hospitals, also an important element. And these kind of things are the processes that Israel puts in place when we have to engage in some kind of combat. And it also must be said that over the last couple of years, when we have had to respond to the firing of rockets and mortars from the Gaza Strip into Israel, that there have been virtually no civilian casualties because of the care and the caution taken by our military and our air force to ensure that we don't incur civilian casualties.
Rolene, the next issue you want to talk about, and I know nothing about, I'm looking forward to this, Holland and the funding of terrorist salaries. Are they doing that?
So we had like something very unusual take place in the Dutch parliament yesterday, and that's their foreign minister admitted to the parliament that Holland can be held responsible or is responsible for partially funding the salaries of the two terrorists that killed Rina Schnurb. If we go back to August of last year, Rina Schnurb was hiking with her father and her brother, and an explosive device went off and it killed her and injured quite severely both her father and her brother. You know, there is a happy ending to the story. Her mother had another baby girl just a couple of months ago. But Holland have admitted that they gave money, or they give at least $20 million to the Union of Agricultural Workers in the Palestinian territories. Now, two of these workers belonged to the PFLP. That's the Palestinian Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a terror organization, and they were responsible for carrying out this terror attack. So the Dutch parliament have decided that Holland will no longer be sending its $20 million stipend to support the Union of Agricultural Workers, because if they're willing to overlook and employ terrorists, they will not be held responsible. So it's quite a landmark win in the war against the economy of terror. You know, we speak about it quite often, just where that money could be put to good use. Instead, it is put to paying the salary of terrorists, amounting to hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Rolene, just there's been a question about Leila Khalid. Is she part of the PFLP?
She's a member of several organizations. She was a member of the PFLP, and she is quite famous for hijacking an airplane. She's also quite famous for being used by BDS organizations to try and raise funds for them. But she has been linked to the PFLP and other terror organizations. Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs last year published a report, and I urge you all to go online and read it. It's called Terrorists in Suits, and it draws the links between these kind of people and fundraising and you know, and where the money comes from and how it's spread around. So if you're looking for some reading material while we are all responsibly socially distancing, check out Terrorists in Suits. It's quite illuminating.
Rolene, a question from one of our listeners from Austin. Lovely to hear from you, Austin, especially these lovely questions. He says, I know Eichmann was the only person executed by hanging in Israel. For what reason or reasons does Israel not have the death penalty? That's a great question. Thanks, Austin.
Oh, that's a very good question from Austin. Austin does his homework. Okay, so Eichmann is the only person to be executed. And Israel technically does have the death penalty in place. We haven't abolished the death penalty. It just hasn't been used. Now, Avigdor Lieberman, who is the leader of Yisrael Biteinu, that's a more right-leaning political party, he has actually advocated for the return of the death penalty for terrorists. But we have a dilemma, and this is why it's a great question. We have a dilemma here. By executing terrorists, will it make them martyrs? This is a debate that has raged in Israel over the last couple of years. When we do have escalations in terror attacks, it often comes up, bring the death penalty back. And then others say, yes, but then you create a martyrdom scenario, which creates more terror. So great question, Austin. I hope that answers that for you. And we even have an assassin of a prime minister sitting in jail, and we won't be using the death penalty against him either, even though in some countries he would have been executed for treason.
Rolene Marks, that gets us to 5:30. As always, thank you so much, and we'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you, Rohit.
Look forward to so many variety of questions. Our listeners are so smart.
They really are. Have a wonderful evening. Chat to you tomorrow.